At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What is up, everybody? What is up? Let's wait for a few of you to get in here. We're going to celebrate together Inter Miami's first win since March 16th. They finally break that streak of 5 games without a victory. Let's go. We're excited to talk about this. Excited to talk about this game. A lot of good things to talk about. So we'll wait for some of you to start getting into the chat, into the room, and we'll start to go over this game. But exciting, great game for Inter Miami. If you guys give me a second here, let's see. All right, just pulling up the comments, and let's wait for a few of you guys to get in here. Let's see. All right, so how are you guys feeling? How are you guys feeling after today's win? Let's see. Let's see, let's see. Let's see, Rob Sports. What's up, Northern Thai guy? What's up, Rob Sports? All right, still. Hey, but it's a good way to get back from that disaster on Wednesday, right? It's nice to come back and get a win finally. That's always exciting. You know, yeah. Wednesday was definitely tough for us. Rob Sports, glad we finally got one. It was about time. Been a while since we felt what it feels like to win a game. Anna, finally a win. Much needed. Yes, yes, yes. Tony, a win. Finally. My goodness. I had almost forgotten what that felt like. Last time we got that win was against DC United when we won 3-1, March 16th. Since then, we bunch of draws and losses, and we came close to victory on a few of those, but unfortunately we couldn't. And then tonight was finally the night that Inter Miami had to prove that they are the team that people imagined that they would be when they brought in guys like Messi, Alaba, Busquets, Suarez. It was time for them to bounce back from a really difficult loss against Monterrey, and just time to focus on the league again. No more excuses, no more Conca Champions Cup, no more we're saving our players. No more. We've got other things that we're thinking about. This it's time to focus on the league, and I think that this game was really, really important to prove that. If they would have lost, it would have been really, really, really bad. There would have been a lot of conversations, especially with Tata and what he's doing here with his tenure so far. But just a great team win, much needed confidence booster, and I'm really happy with, I think, what I saw as a whole. Obviously, there are things that we saw in this game that, you know, we can pick and talk about where there was, I think, there were a lot of holes that we can kind of see, but at the end of the day, you've got to be happy with the win. So, Rob Sports, Diego Gomez might be in Europe by next season. He's been elite, 100%. 100%. He can be in Europe most likely by this summer, not even by next season. It was already reported that Diego Gomez's agent had already had offers from European teams, one being Brighton. He also mentioned that he had already been in talks with leadership in Inter Miami, and Inter Miami front office told him from the beginning, we're not going to make it difficult for you if you want to leave. So I can see Diego Gomez most definitely being out a lot sooner than next season. Let's see here. Michelle Kaufman did an interview for Miami Herald and said that even though Miami is out of CCC, they should still end up in the Club World Cup. Did you hear this, Gian? Yeah, the Northern Thai guy. I actually tweeted about this. I think it was a couple of days ago. I was just kind of looking through FIFA's website and looking at the Champions Cup not the Champions Cup, the FIFA World Cup kind of rules and brackets and how everything is going to be set up. And it states that the host country, in this case, the USA, does have an additional spot that they are able to allocate to the team that they want. It has yet to be announced what the determination or how that that will be determined, but there's a high likelihood it's probably going to be the top team in MLS, whether that is decided by the supporter shield or if it's decided by the MLS Cup, we're yet to see. But that's one of the reasons Inter Miami now has to also put all their eggs in one basket and make sure that they take care of the league and come out first so that they can still make their way to the World Cup in 2025. So yeah, I'm excited about that. It was a surprise to see Messi play all 99 minutes. I think it was a surprise in the sense that maybe he would have been taken out in the 80th or so minute, but I'm not necessarily surprised that he played so much simply because they have a full week of rest coming up. And again, I think that Tata and team realized you needed to make sure you had everything going for you this game. You had your best players on the pitch because you cannot come out of losing five games in a row, not winning or having a victory in five games, losing terribly in Mexico, and then come and lose your very next game in an MLS. I think that there would have been a big uproar and thought that would have been in the hot seat even further, and he didn't want that. So I think they understood how important this game was, and they had everything ready to try to get this win, and they came out with it. Daniel, evening. Good evening, my friend. Anna, hope to see Kremaski back. Happy to see Kremaski back. Yeah, 100%. He had already gotten minutes with Inter Miami CF2 with the second team, and it's nice to see that he finally gets his minutes in the first team after coming back from injury. He's a guy that we saw right off of the bat within the first couple of minutes that he did come into the game. He was able to make some really good passes. Inter Miami, without Redondo on the team, without Robert Taylor, really needed that guy that is going to be able to connect with Suarez and connect with Messi up front. And I think that was important that they finally did get that with Kremaski towards the end. It's good to see him get some minutes. He's going to be really important in the future of this team. Did you see how hard Messi's bodyguard tackled that runner? Yeah, man. You don't want to do that. You don't want to. You might get away with it if you're under 4 feet and you're less than 15 years old. But if you're grown and you're taller than Messi, you're going to get tackled. So definitely check yourself in the mirror before you decide to make it out on that pitch. Make sure you're not taller than Messi because you're probably going to get tackled. Why are we seeing so many hamstring injuries? Alba may be out for a while. That was actually really, I think, really concerning to see Alba do that because, number one, he was injured. He had basically injured himself by himself, no one around him. He was just running and all of a sudden just dropped to the ground. And I think that's at times, that's probably one of the scariest injuries, is when you see a player not get kicked by anybody, not be involved in any tackle, just all of a sudden just go down on the field. Those tend to be the more serious ones, but we'll hope that it's nothing more than that. He did seem to be in a lot of distress and a lot of pain. The hamstring seems to be a nagging thing for a lot of our players. So he's a vital and an important piece of the team. Hopefully he doesn't miss a lot of time. Hopefully it's just he gets this week of rest and he's right back on the pitch. But if not, we also have Negri that just made his way back from an injury after I think like 8 or 9 months of being out. So that at least secures that we will have somebody that's pretty good at the left back position in case Alba does have to take some time to recuperate. Yep, good to see Kremaski getting some minutes, 100%. Negri contributed well also. Yeah, I actually love Negri a lot. Negri is a really good player. He was the starter before Alba, and I still think he's starting material. But with Alba there, it's a great thing to have him as a backup. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about the game. So obviously, Inter Miami comes out. They come out with a 4-3-3 on offense, 4-4-2 on defense, where Gomez drops into the midfield and makes that midfield line of four. early on in the game, we saw a lot of mistakes. That one of them obviously led to a goal. Chelo basically has the ball on the right side of the field, starts to dribble towards the middle, and very irresponsible with the ball, and then just gets the ball taken away from him, and Sporting KC gets the counterattack and is able to score on us. And you know, that was really hurting Inter Miami as they weren't taking care of the ball in the midfield. I think a few minutes right after that, there was another mistake in the midfield that also almost caused a counterattack. And that's something that continues to plague Inter Miami. They continue to mess up in the midfield. They continue to be very careless with the ball, and that has hurt them and bit them in the butt. So quite unfortunate there. Gressel is not my favorite player. Benja can at least possess the ball, and yes, the 4-3-3 made a huge difference. Obviously, that 4-3-3 I think has been what's worked the best for Inter Miami and the offense. Gressel is a good player. I think his best games were the first three games of the season. Then after that, he's had some issues with accuracy on his passes, with his decision making. But Gressel, I think it's just sometimes interesting with Gressel, because he'll kind of frustrate you at times, but then out of nowhere, he'll come out with an amazing pass, an amazing center that ends up ending up in an Inter Miami goal. So, and at the same time, right now, I think that Kremaski's probably on a time, on a minutes constraint coming back from injury. So there was nobody else to really play for Gressel at this point, especially with Federico Redondo out. So that's probably why Gressel is still getting a lot of minutes. Alfredo, what's up? Yeah, too inconsistent. 100%. He's too inconsistent. I mean, he's a good player. I don't know what's going on with him this season. He's been great, and then he's been far from great at times. So consistency is definitely key, especially if he wants to keep his minutes when there are a lot of really good midfielders for Inter Miami. And when there's some midfielders that are out right now, they're going to be coming back from injury, and it'll be interesting to see if Gressel still plays the same amount of minutes. We were talking about that first goal that that Tommy ended up scoring. So it was just weird. Yeah, so Jello Wayne got lost the ball, counterattack for Sporting KC. Then Tommy ends up with the ball in the area, which was really weird, because if you look at that play, Freire took forever to close out on Tommy. He basically stood a few yards away from Tommy, stared him down, and gave him all the time in the world to think and figure out what he was going to do. And Tommy looked at him and said, okay, you're going to give me all this space. Let me just shoot on goal. And he put a perfectly placed ball on the far post, and it was a really nice goal. And then you had the Diego Gomez goal that was just wow. You can never get enough of those passes from Messi. That pass that he threads down the middle over to Diego Gomez, that goes through a few defenders, and Diego Gomez with the picture perfect shot, was just a beautiful goal and a beautiful teamwork goal. And it's really what you come to expect from Messi. And Diego Gomez is really good on the offensive end as well, especially with no Robert Taylor and injured. I believe they said he was going to be injured for maybe like 10 days or something like that, that he'd be able to come back. And then obviously no Farias, Diego Gomez has been an integral part of the offense. So that was really good to see. And then minute 51, we have Messi with an absolute banger from outside the area. That goal was just incredible, incredible. The way that he's able to put power on that ball, the way that he's able to place it over the goalie. I mean, just probably in talks for one of the best goals for Messi, at least now in Inter Miami. Probably one of his best Inter Miami goals, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think as far as that's concerned. And then let's see, minute 58. Tommy, one of the things that we've dealt with a lot, especially last season, we were one of the worst teams when it came to defending set pieces, right? Free kicks and corner kicks. And then we were hoping that we would get over that hump, and then we've kind of suffered against set pieces this season. Not as much as last season, but The second goal for Sporting KC comes off of a deflection on a corner kick. And then Tommy, again, he just gets the ball in the air as doesn't even let it touch the ground and absolutely scores a really nice goal for Sporting KC. They go up 2-1, but Inter Miami, or not 2-1, sorry, they tie the game 2-2, but Inter Miami kept their cool. They as the game went on, especially in the second half, they were able to kind of settle down. They were able to get their a lot more passes as far as their accuracy is concerned. They were able to solidify the midfield a little bit more, and they did a lot better, I think, than in the first half. And then Suarez, minute 71, he scores a beautiful goal off of, well, I think that's really important. You know, Diego Gomez, not only does he score the first goal, but then he comes in and puts pressure on Sporting KC as they're beginning to transition from defense to offense. He's able to make Sporting KC mess up, takes the ball away from the defender, I believe it was Davis, and then ends up putting a really nice pass to Suarez, who basically taps it in. And that was the game. Aviles defended well today. Aviles defended well. Let's see. I can't think of too many errors, but I could think of ways that the defense could have definitely done better. And Aviles, I know that one of the mistakes that he did, I think it was it Aviles or Freyden? I can't remember. Somebody chested the ball down in the area to one of the Sporting KC attackers, and that was almost catastrophic there. But you know, I've always thought Aviles is good. I just think that he needs to, number one, is start to work on his composure. It just kind of stinks that, you know, his mentor, Alba, hasn't been the best in kind of controlling himself right now in the defensive end. He's kind of been, since Monterrey, he's been getting carded often and really been out of control, hasn't really been able to control his emotions. You need guys to set an example, especially the older guys, for guys like Toto Aviles. And Aviles is a guy that gets a lot of yellows and needs to control himself a little bit. But otherwise, I'm a fan of Aviles. We got to remember, he's still a young guy, and I think he's doing really good for a guy his age. And I think as he gets more minutes under his belt, he becomes more comfortable, and I think he's a good defender. We've seen a Netherlands match pass from the GOAT. Yeah, 100%. That pass was just insane. Insane. Let's see. Okay. So I see a few of you with Tata out. So I can understand how you feel. You know, when you brought in these players, I mean, you expect a lot more out of guys like Suarez, Messi, Alba, and Busquets, and then some of the younger guys that we've brought in that are really important pieces of this team, like Gomez and Federico Redondo. You come to expect a lot more. The bar is set a lot higher, and when you are playing poorly in the league, you haven't won a game across all competitions in five games until today, and then you lose the way you did in Mexico, I think that definitely there can be a lot of fallout amongst fans, and I mean, when you have a team like that, the blame typically is going to go to Tata and to the coach. I think right now what's going to be really important is for Tata to do excellent in the league. I think that if he doesn't become competitive in the league and start to string some winning games together, because he only has one winning streak so far and it's only been two games, I think that if he doesn't do that, the conversations are about him and whether he deserves to be leading this team are going to get a lot louder, especially after missing out on Conca Champions Cup. So I think, in my opinion, if you're going to ask me about that, I think he needs to win the league, and I think he needs to win the League's Cup, even though they probably want him to win the league above anything, because that'll get you to most likely to the FIFA 2025 Club World Cup. But I think he needs to win both trophies. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think for Tata to have his job next season, he needs to win both trophies. If not, they're bringing somebody else in. I could be wrong, but they are not. Let's see. 4-3-3 is good. Yeah, that's how our team operates the best, under 4-3-3 with two center backs. Anytime we have a three center back formation, it just doesn't work out for us. Gomez was great tonight. He was amazing. A goal and an assist. Amazing. Gian, our defense struggled to move the ball from the box. Yeah, our defense does struggle. And the reason, I think one of the reasons is they're just not fast enough as far as the decision making and them touching the ball. When you're going to be touching out, if you're going to be transitioning from defense to offense so deep on your half of the field, you need to be very quick about it. You need to be able to get out of your immediate area and basically within 2 to 3 passes. You get the ball, touch to the left, touch to the right, then back to the middle. A lot of times Inter Miami they look lost when they have the ball really deep on their side of the field. They're very indecisive and it tends to get dangerous. We've seen this many times where Inter Miami gets the ball stolen and it just leads to just bad situations for Miami. So I think that if I was the coaching staff, that's one of the things I'd practice the most. And you also have to recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. If your team isn't good playing out of the back with short passes, then try to figure out ways to, as soon as your team recuperates the ball, have your left back and your right back open up and have your midfield dive into the middle. That way you can put a long pass out instead of trying to play short passes out. There's a reason not all teams do that. There's a reason a lot of teams will get the ball and right away just clear the ball or play out wide, a really far ball out wide, because not all teams have the personnel or feel comfortable playing out of the back like that. I think Inter Miami really wants to do it, but if they're going to, they need to figure out how to, because lately it hasn't been working. Tata is a mid coach and we won in spite of him. Yeah, I mean, that's your opinion and I respect your opinion. What I will say about Tata is this we expect more out of this team under his leadership. Tata was put in a bad position because of injuries, but there's no doubt he messed up in substitution and formation decisions. Yeah, look, there's no question that this team has suffered because of injuries. I think that that's definitely something that needs to be brought into context when you're talking about Tata. But at the same time, when you look at some of these games, especially in league play, even with the injuries, his roster was better than some of the opponents. And one example is New York City. New York City came to play us at home at Chase Stadium with our fans. They were the number 14 team in the league. Number 14. They were not a good team. In New York City, we played there. But it ends up being the same. We played in New York. And we should have won that game. We were a much better team. And we tied 1-1. So there were a lot of games where, yes, we had injuries. But the players on the field should have been able to win that game, and the decision making from Tata Martino in some of those games was just not the right one, especially when it comes to substitutions. I think that one of the things that Tata sometimes struggles with is adapting as the game goes along. Sometimes he's very set in his ways from the beginning. Hey, I'm going into this game, this is how I'm going to play. Things change. Sometimes Inter Miami gets scored on within the first 5 to 10 minutes. And there's no evolution in the game plan. I think that that's one of the things that probably holds Tata back the most, is the adaptability to game situations as the game goes along. I thought Suarez was going to be rested for the last 10 minutes, looked too tired to run. It was going to be tough because I think that Suarez, as we've seen, if he's healthy and he feels like he's going to play, we've seen other games where, it would have made sense to rest him, but he just doesn't get taken out of the game. On top of that, thought that I had to use some subs for injuries. And I think that kind of came into play when deciding whether Suarez was going to come in or come out. But at the same time, do we know if Suarez was tired? He looks like he's tired from the moment he walks on the pitch. He's basically stumbling and so I think that's just how Suarez looks all the time. Do you think there's a chance that the rumor of Messi wanting Xavi to replace Tata has any merit? Look, I don't think it's any rumor. I don't think anybody thinks that I don't think there's anybody that doesn't believe that Tata would take sorry, that Messi would take Xavi over Tata. If you don't think that is in his mind, then you're living on Mars, because obviously Messi would want Tata replaced by Xavi. But is that going to happen? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Xavi right now is in Barcelona. He already mentioned that he was going to leave the team after the season. But then now there are rumors that he is saying that if he was to stay, that there are certain demands that he has, like certain players that he wants brought in. And then if he wins the Champions League, hey, that can change a lot. You know, they beat PSG. Now they're going into, and that was in Paris. They beat PSG in Paris. Now they're going to play the second leg in Barca. And if he wins a Champions League, that can change a coach's mind. So I don't know if he's going to be available, but 100% I'd take Xavi over Tata. 100%. I don't think there's anybody in the world that wouldn't. I think if Tata found out Xavi wanted a coach for Inter Miami, he would tell Henderson, you need to bring Xavi in. If he wins the playoffs, he's coming back, I believe, even if we don't win the league. Which is really weird. I still hate that, because I assume you're talking about if we win the MLS Cup but we don't win the Supporter Shield. I think that's a whole arroz con mangos, a whole, you know, what's more important? Is the Supporter Shield the most important? Is the team that wins the Supporter Shield the best team in MLS, or is the one that wins the MLS Cup the best team in MLS? I still don't understand that. I never will. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think whatever they win should be whatever's going to get them into the FIFA World Cup for clubs. They need Redondo 100%. Redondo, in his few games that he was playing when he arrived, he has definitely been a staple of this team. That goal and assist for Messi is worth for the 70,000 present. Am I right? Yeah, 100%. 100%. 70,000 people just witnessed one of the most beautiful assists in Inter Miami history and one of the most beautiful goals in Inter Miami history. It was just pure magic. I mean, everybody that paid for a ticket tonight in Arrowhead Stadium got their money's worth. Everybody got their money's worth. And they almost saw Messi score a free kick from like 30 yards out by millimeters, missed it. That would have been, if he would have scored that would have been insane. Let's see. You could see that Messi figured out how to play the team after they struggled the first 20 minutes. Yeah, as the game progressed, they began to play better. They definitely did. I think that's one of the things with Messi. Messi's basically like having a second coach, a coach on the field, and Messi's able to dictate the pace of the game. Messi's able to talk to the players and to just give a lot of instructions, and that's really important. And I think that as the game progressed, definitely the team felt better. There were directions being given on the field, and yeah, you could see that this was important for this team. They felt it was important, and they never gave up. They never gave up, even though there's some plays there, man. Like when you give up a ball like Chelo Weingans did and have a counterattack and get scored on like that, man, it can be deflating at times, especially when you make a mistake like that. It's like, come on, guys. Like, it's tough. Inter Miami continues to get scored on first in a lot of these games, and it's just very deflating. So it was good to see this team regain their composure, keep level-headed, and continue to press and try to get the win. I think they knew how important this win was tonight for them to get back on track, because if they would have lost tonight, man, like, you can see the frustration on these players, especially with Alba, and I think that it would have been really bad if we didn't win tonight. When are Taylor and Redondo and Campana back? Mid-May. So Redondo was 8 weeks. I think it's been 2 weeks. Taylor, I believe it was like a couple of weeks. It was like 10 days or something like that. So he should be back soon if everything goes according to plan. And as far as Campana, I haven't really heard much on Campana's injury. I know that it's a hamstring. Hoping it's nothing too serious. Campana has had some injuries before, but he's typically been able to come back soon. So I hope that Campana isn't too much as soon as I figure out any information on that, I can definitely share that with you guys on our social media. But Campana is an important part of this team as well. And good for Suarez to get rest. Campana comes in there and gives you speed. He gives you the ability to stop the ball and then pivot and make passes. He's a good assister. He's good. He helps on defense. Great player. So I'm hoping he'll be back soon. Xavi's going to stay at Barca, I think. Look, like I said, I love Xavi. I think that he has struggled at times. But in Barca, as we all know, they've had financial problems, financial issues, and they haven't necessarily given, I think, Xavi the best team to work with. And I think Xavi has done the best that he can with what he's been given. You have look at teams like Man City, look at teams like Real Madrid, the players that they're bringing in. It's insane. And then Barca, on the other end, is having to bring in players that are, you know, not the best players in the world. But at the same time, they've done a good job with their youngsters. They've got guys like Pedri, now Lamine Yamal, who's a 16-year-old phenom for Barca and plays for the Spain team. You know, it's I think they've been able to do some good things in the midst of the financial trouble, but I think that's going to be contingent on what happens with Xavi next season. If he stays, it means that Barca is going to invest and get him the players that he wants. And I know, like, for example, one of the players that he wants is Bruno Fernandes. So, I highly doubt it. Xavi is going to stay in Barca. Yeah, he could. I hope he stays in Barca. Look, if that is not the best advice that I have heard all night long, I don't know what is. Everybody hit the thumbs up. Hit the thumbs up on the video. The more thumbs up that you guys hit, because look, how many of you? There's 507 of you right now in chat. 507. There is no reason we shouldn't have 507 thumbs up on that YouTube video. If we have 507 thumbs up, that means that this video goes out to as many people as possible. The chat gets filled up. We get a lot of comments. So Northern Thai Garden guy, you are the winner for best advice of match day. What is it? Match day 9? Maybe it's match day 9. But whatever it is, great advice. 5 goals, good back and forth, great game overall. Yeah, great game overall. And that was actually, if you guys, I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to my pregame that I did today with Ashley. We did a quick, like 20-minute pregame. Oh, which actually, I probably should have brought that up. If you're wondering where Ashley is, we gave her the day off tonight. She submitted her time off form. We took a look at it. We read the reasons and we went ahead and granted her the time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm off for tonight. She's been working hard. So she took a personal day today, but she'll be back. But yeah, Ashley and I did a pregame pod, a quick 20-minute one that we posted today a few hours before the game started. And she predicted, I believe it was 3-1. I predicted 3-2. So I got my 3-2 prediction. I'm happy about that. And we said from the beginning it was going to probably be a hard-fought game and that it wasn't necessarily going to be easy. You know, Sporting KC, I believe, was 7th in the West. And they started off slow, but they've actually were scoring a lot of goals in their past 4 games. They're scoring between 3 and 2 goals a game. So it was expected that they would get this many goals, especially against an Inter Miami defense that has been a little shaky at times. So very much the game that we expected. Has Miami ever had the injury bug this badly? I know I already asked it, but this seems a bit extreme. Yes, last season. Last season, they were really bad with injuries. I actually haven't made the comparison. That'd be interesting to see. I got to see how the injuries compare from last season to this season. But last season, Inter Miami was bad as far as injuries are concerned. Remember, we lost Negri. We lost Ian Frey. I believe we lost Robbie Robinson at times. There were a lot of the young guys that you see getting minutes now and being successful now, like Remaski, like who else? Well, Ian Frey, even though he's injured, guys like David Ruiz, those are guys that got minutes. And Noah Allen, because of Negri's injury, those are all guys that are impactful players this season because they got a lot of minutes last season due to injuries that probably wouldn't have gone that amount of minutes. So they were kind of like thrown into the fire early, and those guys that I named have done fairly well. But yeah, we had a lot of injuries last season. Well, 15 points in 9 matches is good. It's almost half the points from last season. So yeah, I mean, definitely if you compare it to last season, we're doing a lot better. The only issue is we need to look at the, let's see, let's look at the standings, because we have more games than the rest of the team. So it looks like we're currently in first place with 15 points, but we have one more game than New York, one more game than Columbus, which is currently tied 0-0 and has 13 points. And then Philadelphia has 6 games and they have 12 points, and they only have 6 games. So they have Philadelphia, we're only beating them by 3 points, and we have 3 more games in them. So just something to kind of keep in context is to know that we do have a few more games than some of these teams. But still, yeah, I mean, if you compare it to last season, they're better. But just look at until tonight, we'd struggled. Again, for those of you that just joined, we hadn't won since March 16th. We had gone 5 games without a victory, 2 games in Champions Cup and 3 games in league play. And one of those, we lost 4-0 against New York Red Bulls, which is a complete shellacking. So, Clara, let's go. Appreciate the thumbs up. Guys, Clara is an example for you guys to follow. Hit the thumbs up like Clara did. We appreciate that, Clara. The one there now is mine. Let's go. How realistic is getting that new CB? Okay, so the one that we tweeted about today that Diario Ole reported about, that he is a 20-year-old center back from Boca Juniors. He just signed his first team contract. He just signed it. So he had played some minutes previously for Boca Juniors, but he's from the youth team. And he just signed his contract with the first team. But supposedly what they're saying is that there had already been advanced talks with Inter Miami to bring him over. So it seems like if that was to happen, and supposedly it's being reported that it's also close to being done, that he would come in probably loaned out, I assume, especially if he just signed a contract with Boca Juniors. He'd probably come on loan to Inter Miami. And it said that he wouldn't come directly to the first team. He'd go to Inter Miami CF2 to probably get minutes there. But the kid looks promising. And given the fact that we need depth, especially at the center back position, I think it would be very good for Inter Miami to bring the kid on and give him some time. I know how you guys feel about our center back, so I'm sure you guys were excited when you saw that. What the heck is his name again? I tweeted it. Oh, yeah, Giovanni Ferraina. That's his name, Giovanni Ferreira, 20-year-old youth product. So I think it can happen. I mean, I know that we traded recently, we traded GAM for $150,000 or something like that for an international position that I don't think we've used yet. But there's also, again, rumblings that Matias Rojas is still maybe on his way. So we're not necessarily sure where that extra international roster spot is going to be utilized. Is it for Matias Rojas? That thing is still lingering in the air with him and him trying to get out of his contract with Corinthians. And then now we have the news of this young kid. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But any help that we can get in defense, I think, is going to be good, especially as we try to rotate players. And that way we don't have to continue using Noah Allen as a center back. Even though Tata Martino has said that he sees Noah Allen more as a center back, I'm sorry. I don't think he's a center back. I think he's a left back. We've got Christoph and we've got Ryan Saylor. Noah Allen necessarily isn't a center back for me, but we'll see. Marcelo Wengan didn't play well, wasn't really pushing up. But how much of him not pushing up is on him and how much is it on what Tata Martino wants to do? How much is it that he wants to have Alba push higher up and keep Chelo a bit more reserved so that we don't get killed on a counterattack? I think those are things that we have to think about. Even though that first game that Chelo came in, he was a lot more aggressive on offense. He was much more part on offense. It was just weird because even against Monterrey, I don't know if you guys remember, he was opening up wide and Aviles like completely ignored him. He refused to give him the ball. There were times where Chelo was getting frustrated, asking for the ball. He's wide open and Chelo would rather, and I mean, Aviles would rather play the ball back to Freire and they just touch between them a couple of times and Chelo is right wide open on the right side. And there were a few times that didn't happen. So again, I'm not sure how much of that is Chelo and how much of that is just Tata not wanting to play on that right wing, which seems kind of strange, but I like Chelo. I will say he was a little, tonight he was a little off. There were, especially giving away that ball that led to the first goal. And then he was imprecise in some of his passes and some of his closeouts on when he was defending. Gian, why is Drake so nervous to pass the ball quickly? It happens all the time. Drake has always been somebody that's been criticized for not being a good goalie, a good passing goalie. That's something that he's been criticized for a while. He doesn't have the vision to be able to play balls long into like the midfield or into the offense to get the transition going. And that's really important in a goalie. I mean, I think what keeps him on the team is obviously his goalkeeping skills. He's a really good goalie, but I don't know. I feel like if you don't have that as a goalie, I don't know if that's something that you can necessarily teach. I mean, you can practice to try to get better, but I think that that's a skill. And when you have a goalie like that, that's really important because it can definitely help on the offensive end, especially when you have a team that is not necessarily good at playing deep out of their half of the field. When you have a goalie that can play out wide and put really good balls to transition into offense, that's very helpful. And we just don't have that right now. And I don't know what to tell you about Drake. I don't know if it's that he's nervous or it's just his ability. I don't think that that's a skill set that he necessarily has. Is Christoph on his way out? Christoph is on his way out if they can find a replacement for him, because I think Christoph is still in front of Taylor. I think it's obviously it's Freire and Aviles, then I think it's Noah, then I think it's Christoph, and then I think it's Taylor. So that's kind of the depth chart as far as a center back. So Christoph is on his way out if we can find another center back. Again, maybe this kid from Boca might be it. If they end up bringing him in, putting him into Inter Miami CF2, giving him minutes, and if they like him, bring him onto the first team, and then I can definitely see Christoph on his way out. Chelo was a back-passing merchant and making dummy runs. Got possessed by the ghost of Yedlin. Oh, man. Look, yes, agreed. Chelo was frustrating at times, but I also think there were other plays where it was frustrating that this team was lacking verticality. It's like they are persistent on playing the ball back, and then they just continue to get themselves deeper and deeper and deeper in their half, and that's where the issues come out. They're not fast enough. If you look at Sporting KC, they can progress down the field in 2-3 passes. Inter Miami, touch, 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 touch side, then touch back middle, touch side back. They lacked verticality, and I think that that affected them greatly because that allows Sporting KC to push up and pressure more, and that's where the issues arise. So it was annoying. Chelo did do that, and some other players did as well. He wasn't the only one. Inter Miami should really alternate between each other. We're too predictable. I think that Inter Miami lacks dynamic in their runs, in their strategy. I think a lot of times they're very stagnant, and I felt that Inter Miami have really suffered because of that. We need to do a lot more things with like, for example, have Suarez drop in, and in the open space that he leaves, have Diego Gomez run in, have let's see, down the left hand side, have Diego Gomez pass the ball to Diego Gomez, have Jordi Alba overlap down the left-hand side, place the ball to Jordi Alba, Diego Gomez cut in. Like, those are things that come from coaching. Coaches will literally, have you ever seen those little pads with the little, like, chess pieces or whatever, and then you, and the, you see the coach move them, hey, you go this or you do that. So, I don't know if maybe they gave Tata the board and they forgot to give him the chess pieces to move around. But a lot of times I feel like we don't have those little like dynamic plays where, hey, you come in here, you go into the open space, then I need you to come. Like, I don't see a lot of that, just a lot of stagnant movement or lack of movement. And I think that that plagues Miami a lot. And that's why, again, they find themselves in these situations where they're touching in the back, but nobody's making a run. Nobody's crossing. So it's also, that's why they're not figuring out where to pass the ball, and they end up losing the ball when they feel any bit of pressure. Giving up early goals has complicated the game for us. We could use an easy win game or two. Yeah, it's deflating. When you come in as a coach, as a team, you come in with a certain game plan. The moment you get scored early, not only does it bring the morale down, not only is it frustrating, but it changes your strategy. You have to adapt. Now we're down 1-0. Now we can't play necessarily like we want to. We need to go out and look for the goal, as opposed to if maybe you were playing a little, maybe you were playing the counter, maybe you were trying to do something different. So that definitely changes the moment that you get scored on early. Inter Miami has gone scored on early many times, especially if Gressel isn't delivering that service. Yeah, I think that one of the strongest skill sets that Gressel has is his ability to make those passes. We've seen tremendous centers, tremendous passes that have ended up in Inter Miami goals. When he's not showing his best attribute, he's showing his best skill set, and he's lacking in that, sometimes that takes away like a large part of why he's on the pitch. Ivilis just not ready to manage bringing the ball up. That's a problem with anyone pressing us and better teams. Yeah, and teams have realized that. If you notice, a lot of teams, as they study the film, they see that Inter Miami really struggles against the press, and they start to do that. I mean, if you've been watching games this season, this isn't the first time you've seen Inter Miami struggle and get scored on this same way. We've seen this a bunch of times. Agreed. Too much tiki-taka, need to be more direct. Yeah, you need to be more direct. The other teams are doing it, and that's why in 2-3 passes, they're able to get into dangerous positions against Inter Miami. Whereas Miami has played 20-30 passes and nothing has happened, especially if you notice Inter Miami, they can find their way into the final third, but when it comes to the final third, they lack that one finesse pass, that one last touch to get into scoring position. How many times have we seen that the last few games? We saw it this tonight. They get into the final third, it looks like something's going to happen, and an inaccurate pass from Gressel and an inaccurate pass from whoever, and they just can't get into more dangerous positions. I feel like if they would have been more precise in the final third, I'd give them another two goals at least, because they were getting to where they needed to be. They just couldn't get that last defining pass. I've seen Yedlin had better chances. Look, Yedlin was a good player. I just think that I think towards the end, he maybe wasn't where the team wanted him to be as far as performances. And then also he was an expensive player, and I think they moved him because of that as well. Tata tactics is messy and inshallah. Yeah, look, I don't know if it frustrates you guys. So let me know if this frustrates you. It frustrates me, and I know, look, been following Messi his entire career, love Messi. It bothers me so much when players like, let's say, Diego Gomez, because I've seen him do it a lot, they have an opportunity to look at goal and maybe get a shot off, but they mess up the play because they try to get the ball back to Messi, even if Messi isn't in the best position to receive the ball. They force him. They force feed him. And I think that has messed up certain opportunities where it's like, bro, just score, shoot the ball. Stop looking for Messi. Stop looking for Suarez on every play. And I think Messi and Suarez would agree. you have the goal in front of you, shoot, brother, like shoot. And that's been kind of frustrating. I've seen that at times. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but to me, it's frustrating sometimes. So good game today. Inter plays so good that doesn't make stupid ideas. Yeah, I mean, I think that planted a fairly good game. I think he could have done some things better. Messi saved him. That's 100% sure. But then again, other teams have also other teams have relied on Messi's brilliance. Inter Miami has no real speed besides Gomez and Alba that makes them stagnant. Yeah, that's why it stinks so much to have lost Farias in that stupid preseason that we had and to lose Taylor for a couple of weeks. We don't have speedy wings, and that's what this team needs. Because even Alba, I'm sorry, but Alba is, he's not the speediest person, especially at his age now. You don't have speedy wings, and that sometimes forces Suarez to have to become more of a playmaker than just a pure nine and waiting to get the ball in, whether in stride or just ready to tap the ball in like he did today from Gomez. Gomez has shown his speed. I will say that there have been a few plays where he definitely shows his speed, but I do think that this team needs speedy wingers on both the left and the right side. That's just something, to your point, we don't have that, unfortunately, especially without Robert Taylor now. So, but Diego Gomez is one of the fast ones. The MLS commentator guy called Inter Miami cerebral and not physical. I would disagree when we are at full strength. All right, let's try to unpack that. What does that mean? Inter Miami is cerebral. Okay, so even Inter cerebral. Well, yeah, they've got a lot of soccer IQ, especially between the four former Barcelona players. They've got Redondo, a guy when he's on the field is a guy that has a very high IQ. Physical wise, Messi's physical. Suarez is physical. Gomez is physical. Gressel is not. Busquets not anymore. Alba is too small to be physical. Freire, ni fu ni fa, I don't know. Aviles, sometimes too physical with the amount of cards that he gets. And then Chelo, tampoco. So I don't know. I mean, they definitely are a cerebral team. I think that they lack physicality on defense more than any other place. They need more physical defenders. One thing that still blows my mind is why didn't Tata start Negri over Allen? Are you talking about against Monterrey? Or because today, Allen didn't play today. All right. I agree, Ace, and bring Benja on. Yeah, I think that Benja's still nursing injury. So he's limited on minutes. I like the minutes that he got today. Tata need to resolve the playing out of the back issue to win MLS Cup 100%. That's a nagging issue. And it's anytime I see Inter Miami with the ball deep on their side of the half, it's nerve-wracking. Definitely is. Yes, you saw how he played today. Yeah. Except, what was the formation against Monterrey? It was three center backs, right? And I think Noah was the left center back, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be interesting because normally Negri plays as a left back. He doesn't play as a center back. I don't know if Tata didn't play him because he sees Noah Allen more as a center back than Negri. But yeah, I definitely would have gone with Negri probably over Allen, especially because of the experience. He's a lot more experienced. And it's a Champions Cup quarterfinal elimination game in Mexico. You definitely got to go over with experience. we lost so much talent to injury. This ownership group, I think, has done wonders navigating MLS rules and still finding replacements. Look, I know that ownership sometimes gets the slack because, at least from what I've seen, a lot of the opinion is that they've focused so much on other sides of the field but lacked in the defense. But at the end of the day, I think they've been able to bring in great players. They, as far as, you know, the ex-Barcelona players, and then they've brought in really good young talent. But injuries, man, injuries will kill any team. No matter how much you invest, no matter how many good players you bring in, if they're not on the field and healthy, ready to play, even the best teams in the world without their best players are not as good as they can be. Like, tell me against Monterrey, if you don't think it would be a different game if up front you had Farias, Suarez, and Messi. In the midfield, you had Gomez, Busquets, and Redondo. Tell me that wouldn't have been a different game. 100% it would have been a different game. 100%. I think that we would have won that game. Farias, Suarez, Messi, Gomez, Busquets, Redondo. 100% we win that game. He's talking about Wednesday, Gian. Yeah, yeah. The five line in the middle. Look, that five line in the middle was weird because Tata said that he was using that at the beginning because he didn't have a natural right back, and then he has Chelo, and then he goes and does that in this game. So I didn't understand that. That made no sense to me. And he gave up the midfield in that game because he wanted to play with five on defense. He had the three center backs when they were on offense, but then when they would come on defense, they would leave the midfield. Alba and Chelo would leave the midfield and incorporate themselves into the back, become a back five. And then you only had three midfielders. You basically gave up the midfield for that game just so that you can play with five. Like, that made no sense. You had five defenders defending two, sometimes three attackers. And then you had three midfielders having to defend six or seven because Suarez and Messi obviously don't come back on defense. So it's not like if you would have had, let's say you would have had Suarez and Robert Taylor. Let's say if Messi wasn't playing, then Robert Taylor would have probably come down and helped, and it would have been a midfield of four. No, Suarez and Messi don't play defense. So you basically, again, had six guys. You had three midfielders defending six players, and then you had a line of five defending two or three. Like, that made no sense. And that's why the defense was under constant pressure the entire game on Wednesday against Monterrey. Yes, they didn't play their best, but they were also under an intense amount of pressure. If Tata ever plays them in the line of five again, I will blow my top. Yeah, you know what? When Chelo came, I thought they'd never play a back line of five again, but he did. So strap your top on so it doesn't blow off next time you see that, because I'm afraid that it might happen again. Still sick over that, another blown opportunity. If Tata knows Messi and Suarez don't defend and Busquets is slow, even 4-4-2 made more sense. 100%. I would have done 4-4-2. 4-4-2 would have made much more sense than 5-3-2. 5-3-2 made zero sense. Literally give up the midfield. Makes no sense. 4-4-2 makes a lot more sense. Yeah. But, all right, so look, Inter Miami win today. They get back on track. They're finally winning again. How do you guys, does this kind of like lift the weight off of your shoulders? Do you guys feel a lot better today? Do you feel like what you saw today, and knowing that you're going to have guys like Robert Taylor back, knowing that you're going to have guys like Redondo, Federico Redondo coming back, do you feel like we can win MLS, the MLS Cup? Do you feel like we can win Supporters Shield, or is all these last five games, including the loss in Monterrey, does this still have you guys like, yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen. I need at least two, three more games to see if I can put my faith back onto this Inter Miami team. I want to know how you guys feel. I want to see this team put or string together two or three more of this type of game. If they can do that, then my faith will go back into this team as far as what they can achieve. I mean, obviously always rooting for them, And when I look at this team, I think they can go far, but I still need this team to prove themselves and say, hey, what happened over the last few weeks is not who we are. And we're ready to get it back on track. Yep. Yeah. You feel better. That's good. Good to get a win against a Western Conference team. No, I'm still salty. I cared more about CONCACAF. Yeah, it was definitely a tough loss. That could take some time to get over it. I don't know if you were in our therapy session post game, but we got a lot of stuff off of our shoulders that day. It's a good start, but I think the team is too fragile and need to see more games. Yeah, I'd like to see more games. I'd like to see them string a few more wins together, and convincing wins is what's going to be important. Let's see. Let's look at the schedule coming up. Let's see here for Inter Miami. Okay, so Inter Miami schedule. All right, so we've got on Saturday, so they get a whole week of rest, which is good. They got a whole week of rest. They're going to be playing against Nashville here at home at Chase Stadium. Then they've got another week of rest, and then they go at New England. And then the following weekend after that, New York Red Bulls come back to town. And that's where we need to instill a bit of revenge after losing 4-0. So Nashville, New England, and the Red Bulls is who we have over our next three games. Nashville is currently in 14th. So Nashville is in 14th. New England is in 15th, and New York is in second. So we need to beat Nashville. There's zero reason why we should lose to Nashville in Miami, right? They're 14th. Is that what we said? Yeah, Nashville is in 14th. New England, we play New England, let's see, at Gillette Stadium, and they're in 15th. So those next two games, we need a win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's zero reason why Inter Miami should leave any points on the table. They need to win both of the next two games and then go and against New York Red Bulls here at home. They're number two right now, but we'll be playing at home, and I think that we need to show them that 4-0 is not something that is going to happen every day of the week. I don't know if we keep getting 1 to 2 injuries per game, plus Messi playing international games is not looking good. Yeah, Messi's going to miss June when Copa America comes around. He could miss up to 5 games if Argentina make it to the final, and then got CONMEBOL qualifiers, I believe, September and October, where there are about 4 games there. So he could miss an additional 9 without rest and all that stuff. So that is kind of scary. Then Inter Miami needs to show that they can win without Messi. Not sure. Yes, a better game. Yes, convincing solid wins that aren't, you know, biters. Yeah. Yeah. How about we get rid of those hamstring injuries? That's a pain in the butt. All right, guys. So it's late over here. It's going to be midnight here in Miami. So I'm going to go ahead and start to wind this down. Just a good win overall for Inter Miami. I'm just glad to get back on track and winning. I'm glad that now we can focus on the league. No more excuses for this team. No more excuses for Tata. I'm hopeful to get injured players back on this roster, like Robert Taylor and Federico Redondo, within the next few weeks. Hopefully Campana as well. I'd like to see Ian Frey hopefully come back as well. Cremaschi get more minutes. I think this team is set up to do big things in MLS. And I'm just excited for the next two games. Again, games that Inter Miami has to win. There's no way that they can lose those. And just happy that you guys made it today. Man, we have 655 of you watching now. That's amazing. Really appreciate the support. Really appreciate you guys chatting and talking. It's definitely fun to be able to chat with you all and get your opinions and your takes. It'd be boring if I just gave my take. So I like that I'm able to talk to you guys, and you guys are humorous and fun and all that. So that's cool. Just make sure, if you guys haven't already, do you guys have X? Do you guys have Twitter? How many of you guys have that? If you do, ladies and gentlemen, have X, make sure you follow us on there at Messi & Co. That's MessiAndCo. Do I have that here? Yeah, so make sure you follow us at Messi & Co. That's where we tweet a bunch, and we go to the games, the press conferences, the player interviews. We make sure that we tweet that all to you guys. So just make sure you follow us. We appreciate that. And I'm excited for what's to come. I appreciate you guys joining. And with that, I will leave you guys. Have a great night, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye, guys.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.